Grace and mercy and peace be to all of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. These Sundays in Advent, we've been exploring the broken relationships between sons and fathers in the Old Testament, which reflected the greater broken relationship between mankind and God, which was the result of sin. First, we looked at Adam and his son Cain, history's first murderer. Last week, we examined the relationship between Abraham and his first son Ishmael, when Abraham took matters into his own hands and thought that he could implement God's long-delayed plan. This week, we look at another broken father-son relationship, that of King David and his son Absalom. Please be seated for the reading of this text from 2 Samuel chapter 18. Now David was sitting between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof of the gate by the wall, and when he lifted up his eyes and looked, he saw a man running alone. The watchman called out and told the king, and the king said, "If he is alone, there is news in his mouth." And he drew nearer and nearer. The watchman saw another man running, and the watchman called to the gate and said, "See, another man running alone." And the king said, "He also brings news." The watchman said, "I think the running of the first is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok." And the king said, "He is a good man, and he comes with good news." Then Ahimaaz cried out to the king, "All is well." And he bowed before the king with his face to the earth and said, "Blessed be the Lord your God, who has delivered up the men who raised their hands against my lord the king." And the king said, "It is well, is it well, with the young man Absalom?" Ahimaaz answered, "When Joab sent the king's servant, your servant, I saw a great commotion, but I do not know what it was." And the king said, "Turn aside and stand here." So he turned aside and stood still. And behold, the Cushite came, and the Cushite said, "Good news for my lord the king, for the Lord has delivered you this day from the hand of all who rose up against you." The king said to the Cushite, "Is it well with the young man Absalom?" And the Cushite answered, "May the enemies of my lord the king and all who rise up against you for evil be like that young man." And the king was deeply moved and went up into the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, he said, "O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would I had died instead of you. O Absalom, my son, my son." This is the text for our sermon today. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, parents make many sacrifices for their children. When a baby comes along, the needs and desires of the mom and dad take a back place, a back seat. Parents will sacrifice their time, their money, their sleep in order to provide the very best for their children. Sacrifices come in all sizes. A dad may sacrifice the last bite of his favorite dessert and give it to his child who loves it just as much as he does. Or a mom might give up a career because that's what is best for her children. And I don't know of any parent who would not be willing to sacrifice their own life in order to save the life of their child. Nearly every parent would be willing to take the place of their child if they were suffering. But we don't always get that chance. David, the father of Absalom, wished that he could have died in his son's place. But the story of his father and son ultimately points us to the love of our Heavenly Father and the ultimate sacrifice that he made so that we can be saved from the curse of death. The story that's told in 2 Samuel chapters 13 to 18 reveals the wickedness and depravity of mankind, even those chosen by God to be his special people, a light to the nations. The story contains God's people committing acts of incest and rape and injustice and murder, scheming, rebellion, and war. Let me give you a quick recap. King David had 19 sons from several different wives. Amnon was the name of the firstborn son of David, and he was in line to be the next king after David. But he lusted after his half-sister, Tamar. He faked being sick so that he could be cared for by her. And when they were alone, he forced himself upon her and violated her. And then he placed the blame on her and sent her away to hide in shame. When King David heard about this, he was very angry, but he did nothing to punish Amnon. Absalom, who was the full brother of Tamar, was infuriated by Amnon and angry at David for not pursuing justice for his sister Tamar. For 2 years, Absalom hated and plotted against Amnon until eventually Absalom had Amnon murdered. Then Absalom fled and exiled himself. What a mess. Well, if you jump ahead 3 years, Joab, the captain of King David's army, convinces David to bring back Absalom because he can tell that David has missed his son so much. But when Absalom returns to Jerusalem, he goes back to his scheming and plotting ways. Obviously, he had not yet forgiven his father. Using his natural good looks, the Bible describes him as very handsome with his long hair and charisma. Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel by speaking badly of David in the city gates while promoting himself. Absalom did this for 4 years until one day he left Jerusalem and sent secret messengers who announced Absalom is made king at Hebron. Thousands of Israelites rallied to him and they joined the rebellion because of the all-patient hard work that he had done to build up his reputation. Meanwhile, King David fled from Jerusalem to spare the citizens the battle when Absalom moved in to take the throne. So David summoned those who were loyal to himself, and he gathered a great army. As the battle drew near, David stayed behind and instructed his army to deal gently with his son Absalom. He still loved his son, and he wanted to show him mercy. On the day of the battle, David's army soundly defeated Absalom's army. As Absalom attempted to flee through the forest, his mule went under a thick branches of a tree, and his hair was caught in the tree so that Absalom was left to hang there. When Joab, the commander of the army, found Absalom hanging there, he ignored the words of David, and he thrust 3 javelins into the heart of Absalom while he was still alive in the tree. The reporting of this news and David's response is what we heard read in our reading earlier. When he heard about Absalom's death, David wept and said, "Oh, Absalom, my son, would that I had died instead of you. Oh, Absalom, my son, my son." Here ends the tragic father-son story. It's a story not unlike the story we share with our Heavenly Father. And sadly, that identifies us with the person of Absalom, the rebellious son. But surely you say, I'm not that bad. You've never murdered anyone or incited a rebellion or anything like that. You might think that the only thing that you have in common with Absalom is your good looks. Well, while we look at our outward actions or what we look like, God looks at our heart. And in your heart, you are just as rotten and sinful and rebellious as Absalom and every other character portrayed in this story. Remember what Jesus says? Out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft and false witness, and slander. These are what defile a person. Like Absalom, you rebel against your Heavenly Father each and every day when you put yourself on the throne of your heart and attempt to run your own life the way you want to run it. Unlike David, God is a perfect Father. And he has told you what is good, what is right. But in your selfish pride, you have chosen not to listen and thus declared war on God's will. A son of the king with privilege and power, Absalom decided that that wasn't enough. He wanted to be king. And we desire the same thing. You know, whenever we break any of the Ten Commandments, we also break the very first one by placing our own desires above the will of God. God identified Absalom as someone who was cursed for his sin by allowing him to hang from a tree. God's law in Deuteronomy chapter 21 says, a hanged man is cursed by God. You deserve the same punishment for your rebellion. Because of your sin, you are crushed and should expect the anger, the wrath of God to come upon you. And yet, out of his great love, God sent Jesus, his true son, the true son of David, to become a curse for you by hanging from a tree in order to make you an heir of his heavenly kingdom. Like David, God is a merciful king who does not want you and me to die, despite our rebellion against him. For you, God cries out like David, oh my children, would that I had died instead of you, oh my children. But in God's case, he carried out the substitution that David could only hope for. In order to save you from the curse of death, God willingly gave up his only begotten Son. The Son of God became the Son of a human being, the true Son of David, in whom no sin or rebellion could be found, so that he could carry out God's promise that David's kingdom would be established forever. And as the Son of David, Jesus also hung from a tree, the tree of the cross, and a spear was thrust into him. Paul refers back to Deuteronomy 21 and connects it to the cross in Galatians chapter 3, where he writes, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs from a tree. Jesus became cursed for you and me. He died the death that we deserve. He who knew no sin became sin for us so that we might receive his righteousness. That's the sacrifice your Heavenly Father was willing to make for you, his rebellious child. No matter how far you stray, No matter how violently you have rebelled, no matter how often you attempt to remove God from the throne of your heart, He will always love you and is always ready to forgive. For the sake of the one who hung on the tree in your place. Through Jesus, the true Son of David and King of the universe, you are forgiven and eternally loved child of God, and you have a place in His kingdom forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.